Hi, I'm Daryl Cagle, and this is the Cagle Cast, where we're all about political cartoons, and today our topic is Trump Toilet. We'll look at cartoons about Trump on a toilet, Trump in a toilet, Trump flushing and stuffing a toilet full of documents, and Trump anywhere associated with toilets. We've got a Trump Toilet Festival of cartoons with four brilliant award-winning editorial cartoonists, masters of the Trump toilet genre. Pat Bagley is the brilliant cartoonist for the Salt Lake Tribune in Utah since 1979. Pat has won a ton of awards, including the Herb Block Prize, and he's also a shining star in our profession. Great to have you here, Pat.
Well, thank you, Daryl.
Tell us about this cartoon.
So this is a cartoon that I did when it came out that Trump is flushing all of his documents down the toilet. Okay, so this is from 2019, and it's when he was complaining about water use and how they're restricting water use of toilets, and you got to flush like 10 or 15 times to get it down.
Great. I love that, Pat. And I love your little touches. Toilet paper stuck to the bottom of his shoe. I think that's great. And like Daryl said, the gold plate toilet. There it is. There it is again.
Which actually happened, right?
Yeah.
He walked
Did
up.
Did that really happen?
Oh, yeah. He was walking
up. I don't remember that.
Air Force
Wasn't
One.
Was he getting on the plane? Yeah,
that's right.
He was getting on the plane.
The toilet paper on his
That's right.
That's great. Okay. Rick. Rick McKee was the cartoonist for decades for the Augusta Chronicle in Georgia. He draws the comic strip Pluggers, and we've syndicated Rick for 20 years. Great to have you here, Rick.
Oh, thanks, Daryl. Happy to be here.
This is a lovely Constitution as toilet paper cartoon.
Yeah, you know, when I drew this, I thought this is probably not going to get printed because I've got him, you know, on the toilet with his pants down and his tidy whities showing, but I couldn't resist. So I'm sure I wasn't the only one to do this, but
yeah. Rick, I'm sorry. I like how you've done the spray tan line. That's a really
thank you. Good. I didn't start out drawing him that way, and then I started, you know, it started becoming more noticeable. So I started sort of accentuating that, and of course the little fly, you know, flying around. Back
yeah. There.
So Jack Oman is the cartoonist for the San Francisco Chronicle, and before that, the Sacramento Bee and the Portland Oregonian. He's won a ton of awards, including the Pulitzer Prize. It's great to have you here, Jack.
Great to see you, all of you.
Hey, Jack. Yeah.
Ed, this is fun, taking the paperwork out. It's great.
And he's flush with cash.
This is one of those cartoons where you're just like, so many puns, so little time. I think I jammed in three, so. Yeah. No, it's two. Cartoonists can't count, but anyway.
And Matt Davies, this is the cartoonist for Newsday in New York. He writes and illustrates popular children's books, and he's also won a ton of awards, including the Pulitzer Prize and the Herb Block Award. Great to have you here, Matt.
Great to be here. Thank you.
The lovely Oval Office.
That's a great, you know, that's a great cartoon.
That's the thing about Matt is he always finds that thing that you wish you had thought of.
Yeah.
You guys are too kind. I'm going to look at the date. Yeah, 2018. I sort of held off on doing Trump in a toilet until, remember when he said, this one was drawn in response to when he was talking about immigrants coming from like Central America and Haiti and African countries. And he called them, and I know I'm not allowed to swear here, from the SH1T whole countries. And so I just kind of like was like, I don't even know what else to draw. It'd be like, you know, that was it.
I have to apologize for that because YouTube gives us an adults only rating when we are too explicit or raunchy in our wording.
Isn't it a shame that we've got to edit ourselves when we're talking about what the president has said? We're quoting the president. We can't be quoted on YouTube.
And of course, if you're looking for adult material, there's stuff that's a lot more interesting than us talking.
You know, it's true.
Yes, whatever's raunchy in our show is just potty humor.
But this was early on in the cycle. You know, we'll see a lot of the long ties. If I were to draw this now, you know, because I've matured and evolved, I would draw the tie longer than that.
Exactly.
Trump is wonderful because he's just so descript in his cartoon cliches with the tie and the blue suit and the hair and the fish lips, the big belly. Yeah. And you can just draw any one of those and you know it's Trump. And that's wonderful.
Well, he's like a cartoon.
He's like a walking logo, right? Like he's so simple. Like he's just like you do the mouth, the hair, the tie, and it's just like, boom, you can, you, it's.
Well, it's like the comedian John Mulaney said years ago. He said, Trump is like a hobo's idea of what a rich guy is, you know. I'm going to have the golden hair. I'm going to tall buildings with my name on them. And I'm going to hire my children to fire people.
Have you guys ever seen him in person before?
Yeah.
No. I saw him at the 2018 Gridiron Dinner. I did the menu, and so I got an invitation to go. And we were sitting very close.
Oh, that's cool.
And the entire U.S. political and media establishment were there. And what I was really struck by was that, you know, you look at him, and I just find him horrific to look at. And I've hated him the second my brother-in-law gave me Trump the Game in 1988. And I was like, what the actual blank did you do that for? I thought he was very striking looking in person and just really stood out. He looked different than every other person in the room. Nobody looks like that weird.
He's also really tall, right? I mean, I met him a bunch of times back in the 90s when I worked in Westchester, New York. And he would come because he was building golf courses, and he came in and lied about what rules he would adhere to, et cetera, et cetera. But the thing that struck me, of course, he was a lot younger then, but he was really tall. Like, you know, when you meet someone who's famous and they're usually much smaller than they,
right?
Then they're usually like 5'5" or something. And he's like, when they said that he was 6'3", I was actually surprised. I would have put him more at like 6'5". He was like really tall, and he had a really long coat on. And he was also extremely friendly. I mean, he's a very pleasant guy in person. It's just when he got into politics that he turned into, you know, something slightly different.
I've heard that he's pleasant.
I started my career in New York, and Trump was just a big character then. And back in the 70s and early 80s, he did the Wallman Rink. He was in the news all the time. And I didn't have anything like the picture of what Trump is now in my head. He was a thin, tall guy, and it was difficult for me to learn to draw him the way he is now. My first Trumps are just terrible. Skinny Trumps just not at all what Trump is. So I hate looking back at them.
Yeah, that's kind of a funny observation. And, you know, when we all start caricaturing somebody, it's not exactly like he burst onto the news or anything, but the people who are the hardest to draw are the people who are most like a caricature in person. And, you know, when Gingrich came out, and, you know, John Kerry's very unusual looking guy, and, you know, a couple of people like that, and a lot of cartoonists will think, well, you know, I've really got this caricature knocked because I can just do the hair, do, you know, whatever obvious characteristic. But you can really blow the caricature. And to Daryl's point, I had a hard time getting on Trump for about a year, honestly. Wasn't happy with, you know, how I was drawing him. I am now, but of course, I, you know, have to been exposed to him for 7 or 8 years.
I agree. But that would be an interesting segment to do, is the evolution of our Trumps.
Because
I hate the way I drew him at first, even that one in the Oval Office one there. I'm looking at him like, we all do this, right? When you get a new president or politician, and you have your first kind of stabs at the caricatures, and it kind of looks like him, and then maybe it's a little too much of a portrait of them, and then you gradually evolve your caricature to be more of their personality, and you just get better at it. And like, I do a better Trump now, and I'm sure you guys feel the same way. I just draw him better than I used to, you know? I mean, even that one's better than the one that was in there before.
I can't stand the way you draw Trump now, honestly.
This is a great Trump. The poop in the rotunda. I think that's wonderful. This is great.
That was my January 6th. And I just didn't know what else to.
Oh, that's to, great that for my, January 6th.
You nailed it.
That was my. And,
it's a magnificent cartoon.
And the tie,
you see,
yeah.
Tie is actually in the. Well, so, okay. So I hope my editor's not watching this, but I told her that this was mud. and not sure that she believed me, but, you know, plausible deniability on that one. We are a family newspaper. But
oops, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say the mouth, and I know you guys probably all sort of go there too, is like Trump's mouth is. He looks like a tardigrade.
Yes.
Right? Only he has four legs instead of six, but otherwise he's
or an orangutan.
Yes. You know, there are actually quite a few of Trump spinning in the toilet being flushed. And this was mine.
That's great.
And it's pretty old. And it's kind of an optimistic cartoon, I think, because he never really does get flushed. He's always around. But it always seems like something is the next thing that's going to flush him.
Yeah, I love what you did with his hair there. What was your thinking, Daryl? What were you thinking he was going to
do? You know, I don't remember what event I drew this for.
Is that mud? Is that mud splashing up over there?
Here's my Rotunda cartoon. And this was also an early Trump. But this cartoon never goes stale. I can bring it back every couple of years.
It's true. Very good.
Well, you know, you raise a good point, like where you were talking about that thing. And I think we all have encountered this over the years, you know, when he first came down the escalator and he started calling Mexicans like rapists and stuff. And he literally like he did things that made us do cartoons where we were like, there's no way he's going to survive this. Like, this is terrible. Right. And it became difficult to make the cartoons. He was worse than the cartoons that we were doing.
Right.
And then you do a cartoon and then 3 days later, he does something that's even more. And so, I mean, I reference the tardigrade, you know, tardigrades, you can't kill them, you know, in space, I think, or something like that. But he has that same resilience. Like, it doesn't matter what he says or what he does, you can't flush him. You cannot, which gets to work.
And he's almost impossible to satirize. You almost cannot top whatever it was he just said.
Yeah.
We did Trump as a dog and Trump as Hitler, and this is our Trump toilet podcast. These are standard metaphors for cartoonists. How much can you exaggerate something? Here's the most I can exaggerate it. And we had close to 100 cartoons on each of those. Trump dog, Trump Hitler, and Trump toilet. And that's just from our group, because I can search our group and I can't search the other groups. It's a heck of a lot. This is just our go-to places, the toilet and the Hitler.
You know, since I've been in this business just slightly longer than Bagley, probably.
Five words.
But you know, Pat, I mean, we've been around the track. You know, I started in syndication in 80, and there were these, with each, you know, couple of years, there'd be some frontier of taste that you couldn't go past. And the first one I remember very clearly was something about urinalysis in the Reagan administration. And I remember drawing a cartoon about it, and I was like, oh, God, I can't believe I'm doing this. But like the taste thresholds were so different in 1980. You know, I wonder whether Herblock did a toilet in his entire career. I mean, you know, he did a sewer or something like that. But like, I can't visualize a toilet cartoon that Herb did.
You mean actually drawing a toilet? Yeah, yeah. Because that would have been like gauche.
Yeah.
But
so now you have a president of the United States who's establishing a new low in cultural taste norms every 20 minutes. So you're almost like trying to keep up with them. And as, you know, somebody from Minnesota who very likely is related to Pat Bagley because my great-great-grandmother had 4 wives and 38 children. true fact. And, you know, you're just like, God, do I have to go there, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, which is why another 4 years of Trump is so daunting, because we've used up all of the metaphors.
Buddy, Trump, we get another 4 years of Trump, you're not going to be drawing political cartoons anymore.
Oh, yeah. He'll be on the run. Matt, you can stay with me. We'll run together. But
all right. We'll go to Portugal with Pat.
Pat, Portugal. Portugal's nice.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the Daily Show just did a thing the other day. I saw a clip of where you were talking about, you know, how Trump sort of moved the goalposts. And it was a whole supercut of clips of people criticizing Obama because he had a selfie stick in the Oval Office.
Right.
Right.
I didn't even remember that. And I thought, no. And how he was degrading the office because he had a selfie stick.
Yeah. Saluting the Marine with a Starbucks cup and then the tan suit, right? Those were
the tan suit. Oh,
the end of civilization and
God decency, forbid a tan suit.
I should point out that this lovely White House Trump toilet is by Joe Hiller, and it's a very, very nice Joe Hiller cartoon. The long tie.
Very good.
Long tie, the small hands.
Here's John Darko drawing on the fabric paper. It's the Donald J. Trump Presidential Library. There were tons and tons of cartoons of the Presidential Library as some variation on the toilet or the sewer. You know, I've drawn sewer pipes coming out of the White House. You know, one thing we do with our little syndicate is we track the usage of the cartoons very closely. And we tracked through the Trump administration to where editors were not wanting to print Trump cartoons at all. They just were not being reprinted, but they were still very popular on the internet. And we can also track things like bodily fluids and see that editors don't like to reprint bodily fluids. And, you know, those do well on the internet, and they also do well in the podcast. And so we've got all these cartoons that hardly anybody has seen, Trump and metaphors that editors don't like, that we're just doing all these podcasts with, and that's working for us.
I might not be participating in the bodily fluid podcast, Daryl.
Oh, it's too late. You're already in it. That's the second segment here.
Such a great style. I like his stuff.
Yeah, me too.
Here's Steve Sachs, presidential, the National Archives Museum, presidential papers from the toilet. This is very nice. Of course, there was that report of Trump flushing classified documents down the toilet.
Yes, the great Steve Sachs.
You know what's interesting is that it does. He's got that explains his weird obsession with flushing toilets 15 times. Cartoon totally doesn't need that. It's so strong, right? It's just great.
This is Stéphane Paré, a French cartoonist who lives in Thailand that we used to syndicate until, you know,
until he drew this.
Well, until he started losing his papers and retired, like so many of our colleagues. And this is a cartoon that I know none of our American editors would print. They don't like poo-poo cartoons. He did a follow-up cartoon.
It's a double whammy.
it is. They don't like flipping the bird in cartoons either. But it works for us, and it works for the internet, and I guess it works in Thailand.
That's great.
Here's Jimmy Margulies with toilet water.
This distinctive Trump toilet water is a blend of classified documents, incriminating evidence, and financial trickery.
This is like the most inside joke ever.
wait, we gotta get Walt Handel's
voice. Now I'd like to do some other illustrators from Nebraska. My Paul Fell cartoon is imitation.
Oh, Daryl, yeah? Got that.
We all love Jimmy, incidentally.
The Filipino. Oh, yeah, Jimmy's awesome. He's very different. The Filipino, it's interesting that, and I don't know how many more you have here from overseas cartoonists, but it's interesting how many foreign cartoonists were able to do scathing cartoons about Trump.
You're thinking of Manny Francisco?
But they wouldn't be able to do, but they couldn't be, I mean, I even saw Chinese cartoonists doing cartoons about Trump that were really scathing, but they could never get away with being that vociferous and critical of their own leaders, you know, like,
yeah, no Xi cartoons on the toilet, right?
Well, more than half the world's population lives in a country where cartoonists can't draw their country's leader,
right?
And that is very disturbing,
which is what we're afraid of happening.
Yeah, that's
here.
Coming up. That's around the corner.
It usually comes in when they start suing the cartoonists. I have a cartoonist friend in Algeria, Ali Dilem, who says he always has 20 lawsuits simultaneously from leaders that are insulted by his cartoons. We had one cartoonist, Shudi from Slovakia, that had his cartoon go to the Supreme Court and when he was being sued by the president of Slovakia for hurting his feelings because he had a sore back. He drew a cartoon of the president getting an x-ray and the doctor says you can't have a bad back, you're spineless, to the Supreme Court. That's terrible. An EU country, and that happened in Czech Republic as well, and I think it's a real threat.
Why was this last year I was threatened with a lawsuit by a pretty powerful corporation in Utah, and the paper backed me up. And the lawsuit, well, the threat was Pat Bagley has to apologize before this date or we're going to sue. And the paper said, we got you covered. And our law firm wrote back to them and said, well, you can't do this because the First Amendment grants because of this. And besides, you are crook.
I want to meet your general counsel, buddy.
The truth is a defense.
I was sued by a congressional candidate in New York for $1 million for defamation. I called him a racist because he was.
He was.
Yeah, I mean, but it was the same. I was protected under the vaunted First Amendment. And so it was laughed out of court. But it's still scary to get served by someone. Guy came to my house and, you know, was really.
I wonder why they even bother, because, you know, the Falwell decision was so clear. And when somebody like Tony Scalia is like your lead defense attorney on satire, I wonder where they are now.
It's still expensive to be sued and even get it thrown out of court.
Yeah, but we thought Roe v. Wade was settled law too, and they can change
it.
Yeah, I don't put anything past them if Trump gets back in. I don't put.
I'm just going to quit, honestly. No, I mean, why bother?
Yeah.
Well, they want you to. That's the whole point.
No, yeah, that's true.
Well,
we need you on that wall, Jack.
Yes, right. We do.
You need me on your cell block, is what you need me. But I actually think this guy is going to win. And I've seen some really interesting polling in the last couple of days that convinces me that's the case. But, you know, a lot of us have been doing this for, you know, 30 years or 40 years, you know, and we're coming up on the 50th anniversary of Watergate. And, you know, Nixon put Conrad on the enemies list, I remember very clearly. And Trump never talks about cartoons or cartoonists. My only interaction with him was, I remember when I did do this menu illustration for the gridiron in 2018, and he held up the menu and showed it to Melania, and he goes and puts it down. So, you know, the only time I've seen the president personally react to a cartoon of mine.
He would have to read to know about cartoons, so that we are sort of protected there.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's kind of an interesting point, you know, because we're throwing everything we've got at this guy every day. And 50 years ago, Nixon was paranoid about Paul Conrad drawing him as King Lear, King Richard III or something, you know, like, environment. And I don't think Drum knows who King Lear or King Richard III is either.
Well, you know, we are pretty siloed. We get hardly any audience when we have conservative cartoonists on. They only care about liberal cartoonists. And same on my website, my social media. It's the people that are liberal and agree with the majority of the cartoons that are commenting and looking. And the conservatives go to their own silo and look at something else.
Branko.
And the other guy. Yeah,
We always say Branko and the other guy.
They're like conspiracy cartoons. Yeah, I was
looking at his site just like the other day. What's that guy's name?
There's a painter named McNaughton. Is that who you're talking about?
Garrison, not the painter.
Oh, Ben Garrison. Yeah.
That's right.
He had a drawing. I don't want to rip on a cartoon, but he had a cartoon of Tucker Carlson interviewing Putin, and on the table it had written "real journalism." I was like, okay, here's real journalism.
So here's Taylor Jones, and he's got Trump lacks policy softener and makes it easier to pass, and that's funny.
Taylor does beautiful illustration. Look at that.
Taylor's just the best. I mean, he's just a, you know, Ed Wexler level, you know, Steve Brodner level caricaturist. Really fantastic guy.
He does wonderful Trump hair.
And we talked about this on another podcast, but he used to draw Trump drooling all the time. I don't know if y'all ever noticed that, but this is one of his classic Trump drooling cartoons.
Here's an excellent Pat Bagley cartoon. Tell us about this, Pat.
Great.
You guys are brave. The only way I could get this past my editors was to keep him with his pants up, but I wanted to do the pants down.
Did you do it with the pants down, and he told you to pull the pants up?
For my own amusement, I did. But
people say Trump smells funny. Maybe that's why, Patrick.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So that was a great one, Pat. I love that. I love your illustration on that.
No,
this one's from Dale Cummings. You know, there are a whole lot of Trump in the toilet, often with just no explanation, and they're all very nice.
I'm not familiar with this cartoonist. Where is he?
Well, is that Cummings in Canada?
Yeah,
Dale Cummings. Yeah, yeah, he's fantastic.
Yeah, and he all of his drawings look nasty. Yeah. I like that nasty look.
Yeah.
And here's R.J. Matson, federal
prosecutor,
displays classified government documents here.
Yeah.
He is a maniac with the details. I'm always impressed with his artwork.
Looks like it takes him forever, but he goes really fast. Really?
That looks like real wallpaper. Like, that looks like the actual Mar-a-Lago logo in the wallpaper. It's amazing.
And the toilet actually looks like it would function, unlike the ones I draw.
I think it might be the Mar-a-Lago logo.
I think it is, yeah.
So here's Christo Komar from Bulgaria with the secret toilet paper yelling occupied and FBI opened the door. That's fun.
Yeah,
it was fun, yeah.
This is Randy Enos. Randy Enos is our oldest cartoonist. I think he's 88. And, wow. You know, he was one of the original National Lampoon guys. I grew up with his stuff in high school. So it's fun to have him still around.
Yeah, I met him once in, he and a couple of other artists had a big studio space in Westport, Connecticut. And I went there and met him when I was a lot younger. And lovely guy, really. And I mean, obviously his work is legendary. So
yeah, quite a storied career. And he's just drawn for every place that publishes illustrations. It's
all those New York guys, you know, Ed Sorrell and Arnie Roth and Jules Pfeiffer, they all just kind of sit there and they're 90 and they've been 94 for 30 years.
Right.
They will not die, you know.
That sounds like a business plan. We're getting there too. So, Rick, no job is finished till the paperwork is done.
Starting to spot a theme here, Daryl.
I like the tie. You got the tie all the way along the floor.
Excellent, Trump. Now, this is from our conservative anonymous cartoonist, Rivers. He's got Mother Goose reading the book, and she says,
"And then the big bad orange man flushed all the papers down the toilet, unnamed White House sources say, and the stupid children Democrats say. I know it's a fairy tale, but I want to believe.
I do find it ironic that the anonymous cartoonist is mocking the unnamed source.
Daryl, do you have a policy of not using his name?
What?
Do you have a policy of not using his name? I mean, everybody knows what his name is, and I won't use his name. But like, what's the deal?
I'm fine with anybody being anonymous if they want to be.
Uh-huh.
So we won't say his name. If you say it, I will edit it out because it's polite for him to. Are you mouthing his name now?
No, I'm just not.
That's an interesting discussion because, I mean, there are a lot of cartoonists with pen names, so it's not completely unprecedented. I mean, my name
is
really
Rivers.
Rivers
is a
Matt
sea change to mix a water metaphor, right? I mean, it's not like you started off as Rivers.
Yeah. No, I know. Yeah.
I know this was probably drawn beforehand, but, you know, since this has been drawn, there's been actual photographs of the documents in the toilet. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is no longer a fairy tale. This is not made up. So if he were like in Brazil or Mexico or one of those countries, he wouldn't be allowed to flush it. He'd have to throw it in the little trash can beside the toilet.
Yeah, right. Nothing goes into the, no solid.
So here's Trump the Ripper by Ed Wexler.
Trump the Ripper. That's a good, play on words. I like that.
Ed is a great artist. A funny guy, Ed.
And Donald John Trump, here you've got Dave Wammond. Don't worry, fellas. Oh, I printed all your texts and flushed them down the toilet.
That's good. That's clever. I hadn't thought about that.
Donald John.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe I haven't used the John. Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah. I'm making a note.
Jack, here's yours. Watergate, 18.5-minute gap in the water closet. Gate 18 and a half flushes. That's very
nice. That's great, Jack.
Jack, your color makes me laugh. I think your color is funny.
The one with Nixon had to have the sepia tone. I mean,
yeah.
I like that touch. Yeah.
And this is great. And again, here you got all those bright colors, but it looks sophisticated with the texture. And I think that's really very nice.
That's lovely, Jack. That probably pops off the page, doesn't it?
Thank you. Very kind of you to say. You know, on the Nixon cartoon, I remember when he died in 94 and I drew a tape recorder, you know, reel to reel. And oh my God, even back then, young people were like, what's that?
Wow.
And again, we're 50 years out from this. And so to draw a toilet, that's at least a referenceable piece of equipment these days compared to a reel to reel tape recorder.
Yeah.
That was my first killed cartoon was when Nixon died. And I probably a lot of people did this, but I did that 18.5 minutes of silence. Inexperienced cartoonist at the time. And my editor was like, I'm not putting that in the paper. And I was like, why? It's funny.
Well, it's 70. At 72, you're like the youngest cartoonist now, right?
This is very nice, Jack. And you got the FBI saying, no, you search the toilet. And that's funny. And it's bright primary colors. That's great.
Did you do this before they found out that he was actually storing documents in the bathroom? And we've all seen the picture of these top secret documents stacked next to the toilet. Was this before or after that?
I don't recall. That story moved really fast, you know. And I guess knowing that he did try to flush the documents was known, right? So that's the joke. But I don't recall. My memory's fading, you know.
You know, this, it's funny. I forgot. I found this one when you asked us to look for toilet cartoons in a. I remember doing this, and you know, it was a play on the chain gang. You know, Sheriff Arpaio was famous for his chain gangs, and I remember drawing it and going, "Do you think anyone will remember those old?" I grew up in England, and I moved here many years ago, but you know, and there were a lot of old houses that had those toilets, and I run into this from time to time where I have, you know, my hard drive was kind of scratched as a kid in England, and so I have cultural references that people are like, what the hell? Like, so I remember, like, I sketched that up, and I was like actually concerned that my editor might be like, what on earth is that happening on the top of that toilet? Is that like, because it's, the gag is purely because he's pulling the chain on the thing, and you know, of course,
sure,
you can't buy that in Home Depot now, you know, it's a little,
yeah. I got it, and that's where Michael Corleone hid the gun, right? Or he got the gun.
Yeah, yeah, it's an old, it's
an elevated tank.
Yeah, yeah, but
it's you have no obligation to draw eyes on Trump.
No, that's a thing that I've noticed that I do, and I didn't really make a conscious decision. I've started eliminating a lot of people's eyes when I think that they're, let's just say I disagree with them. I feel like taking the eyes away makes them, it dehumanizes them somehow. Or I don't know, it just makes them seem slightly more nefarious. I've stopped drawing eyes on Vladimir Putin as well. Yeah. I don't know what that is. I probably need to see a psychiatrist.
I know I eliminate mouths from time to time.
Yeah, you just get rid of it.
And you're like, well, how do you do that? And yet it works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Sometimes it works much better sometimes.
Right. Well, my rule of thumb is if I can't catch the likeness, I just leave that feature out. So, you know.
Right, right. No, yeah, you're right. And you put, like, you have it nailed, and then you put the mouth in, and it looks like, it's like, oh no, that doesn't work.
I worked for many years for the Muppets, and they had that same philosophy about eyes, but never mouths. They wouldn't delete mouths.
Huh, interesting. Huh. Well, you need to be able to do this with the Muppet, right? You got the key thing.
Yeah.
And here's another nice Pat Bagley.
Yeah, you're from the wide stance state there, Pat.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, you know what's interesting about this? Okay, so we've all done a cartoon where you say, what? And I always struggle with the what you put after it to make it sound like you're going, what? And that's effective. It's an exclamation point and a question mark.
I put in a couple of these Republican toilet cartoons on gays because there were a whole lot of them. And, you know, we could
Okay, this goes back. So the senator who was in the airport had the white stance.
Yes. He's from Idaho, I think.
Yeah, Larry Craig.
So that's what this is. This is what this refers to,
right?
Because I first saw this, I go, "What?"
Oh,
yeah, no, yeah.
You know, Pat. We all know Tom Meyer. We haven't seen him in a while. Cartoonist conventions, but we had a joke for years about there were two types of the fallback punchline for any political cartoon would be he would use the phrase Stockman, back when, you know, Dave Stockman was the OMB director, and you know, there'd be something missing from somebody's office and it was his budget cutting. And so he's Stockman. And then the other one is now what? And Handelsman and I have now been talking about this for decades, you know, which is like, you don't have a caption, but you got a good drawing. You say, now what? Okay, well, and now just what?
Or there's that is the.
Right, that is the, well, that's still, I'm sorry. Don't get me started, and I'll bet I did one 2 weeks ago. But
look at all that mud. Whoa.
Oh, hello.
I did this Ted Cruz. It's a tribute to a Steve Bell cartoon about George W. Bush. And he always drew George W. Bush as a monkey. And I just, I thought that was wonderful. So I did a tribute cartoon. But just to make the point that toilets are not limited to Trump.
You know, it's funny.
How many papers do you think are in that?
You know, I as things change and these things are good for podcasts and internet, I'm not sure that we should be self-censoring on these kind of things anymore.
You know, you referenced that this is a tribute to Steve Bell's cartoon. I remember talking to Steve about that cartoon. We were doing an event together in London, and he actually, it did appear in print in The Guardian, but he had trouble, even in England, where pretty much anything goes. And he said he had to negotiate the amount of turds. and so he took a few out, and then it was good to go.
Also, happy 65th birthday to Martin Rowson, who could draw this but make it even grosser.
Oh yeah.
And here's Dave Granlund fleshing the Constitution.
Dave's Trump. Dave Granlund's Trump. That's a good Trump. That really.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got the kind. Yeah,
it's got the mouth, the downturned mouth, and squinting eyes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Kind of bullfrog kind of look. Yeah.
All right.
So, Pat, here is one of yours, the Donald J. Trump Presidential Library, also flushing the documents down the golden toilet. So tell us about this one.
So I had this idea, and I thought, that's a good idea, and I did it up, and I was going to send it to you, but I thought, you get that feeling sometimes, maybe somebody's done this before, and you do that Google search, and I'm not quite sure. So I did show it to a couple of my peers, a couple of my colleagues, and they said, oh yeah, that's been done. So I did not send this one in. This was not published.
Well, I think it's great. And I think, you know, it's a little detail that I think cartoonists will probably get, and other people won't, but you've really tried to get his signature down on those documents. It looks very much like his signature. And the other thing I think that's funny that I've noticed through all these cartoons, or a lot of them anyway, is that sort of the solid gold toilet. I don't know that there's ever been a story that he's got a solid gold toilet, but all of us cartoonists sort of picked up on that. And
no,
just,
there was.
Know,
no,
was there a story?
Okay. Yeah. He definitely has or had gold toilets. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure. It's, I mean, it's solid.
Yeah,
right.
It's gold.
No, right. It's gold. It's yeah.
When Johnny Carson died, I drew a cartoon that had Johnny Carson at the pearly gates, and St. Peter says, any cartoonist who draws me saying, here's Johnny, is going straight to hell. And I collected all the Pearly Gates, here's Johnny cartoons. And there were about, I guess, 15 or so. And I put them under my cartoon, and I put that up on MSNBC. And I thought that was fun. And nobody got the joke. They just thought every cartoon was funny. And yeah. we worry too much about this stuff.
You know, part of my employment agreement with Newsday is no Pearly Gates cartoons.
Is it really?
Yeah. My editor, she's like, no Pearly Gates cartoons. They're terrible.
Good for her.
it's a humorous employment agreement, but it's like, let's move beyond the Pearly Gates.
I think you can keep it down to a couple of years.
When I started, you know, I think I did my share early on, and sure. I was like, never again. I was whatever happens, I'm never drawing another one of those things.
So everybody, thank you for coming to the Kegcast. Be sure to subscribe wherever you're watching, and thank you so much, and I will see you later, and gentlemen, next time.
Yeah,
good to see y'all.
Almost felt like a convention.
How am I gonna turn this down, you know? So
That was great. That was great fun. I had a good time. That was a lot of fun.